Good morning. Today we'll be reading from Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, the entire chapter. Daniel in the Den of Lions. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, and advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing, so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit this morning, and we just pray that these words from the Bible, from the book of Daniel, this story, which we know is not just a fable but a true story, I pray that it would touch our hearts, Lord, and that we would be reminded of your power, and that even in the most hopeless situation, we can put our trust in you because you are faithful, Lord. And I just pray that you would speak to us this morning through the message that the pastor brings, and that each one of us would leave here strengthened and ready to be more faithful to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We often talk about young people, and our comments usually would be something, oh, they are only boys, they are only girls, they don't have any experience, they will learn, it's okay, let them be. But when we look in the history of the Bible, when you read the Bible carefully, you realize that God used young people for his glory and in his ministry. God used young boys like David, like Mary, who conceived and gave birth to Jesus, and she was a teenager, like Samuel. And you see here three young teenagers, again used by God, and so many others. So looking at the teenagers today, we must think of what God can do through them. We have some young boys and girls here this morning. They can be used by God if we pray for them, if we ask them to surrender their lives if they haven't. Here, 605 before Christ, we see what happened when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, besieged it, and took the king of Judah and some of the articles from the temple of God and carried them off to Babylonia. He also ordered to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, and qualified to serve in his palace. But first, they had to be trained for 3 years. They would learn the language and customs. They would eat from the king's food and drink from the king's wine, and then they would enter the king's service. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, but the chief official gave them new names. Daniel was renamed Belteshazzar, Hananiah Shadrach, Mishael Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. There was royal food, wine, and good life available to them, but Daniel and his friends chose to reject the king's royal food and wine. They remained faithful to God. Every time I need to see young people devoted to God and young people who have surrendered their lives to God, I go to the Bible. And every time I read the story of these young men, I realize that they were really filled with the presence of God. Today, we look for privileges. Today, not only young people, but especially young people who are just getting into the world and what the world offers, are tempted to accept everything. You talk to young people today, and they really don't know what is the difference between a Christian young man or a young lady or a worldly one. You talk to men and women in the church, and they really don't know the difference. To them, life is life, and life goes on. But when it came to these young men, these young teenagers, these Jewish young boys, they knew exactly who they were. They knew exactly who they worshipped. And they knew exactly what their God was expecting from them. They knew that they were in the presence of a holy God, not only when they prayed, but all the time. Later, Daniel, with God's help, interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, predicted Belshazzar's death, and he was appointed top president. That's in chapter 6 we read, by King Darius. But Daniel's journey was not smooth at all. He almost lost his life on several occasions, but God delivered him every time. What we see in Daniel's life is that people of faith are not always popular. And today the messages, the wrong messages that are being preached is that if you want to be prosperous, if you want people to respect you and love you and be happy, you must surrender your life to Jesus and He will give you all the pleasures you need or all the health you need or all the money you need. But that's not at all what the Bible says. The Bible says that those who really surrender their lives to God, they suffer. The other princes and presidents despised Daniel. There was a lot of competition, jealousy. Serving God has always been costly. What does it cost you as a Christian today to say that I am a Christian? Prophets were often ignored and jailed and stoned to death. That's what the price was. John the Baptist was jailed and beheaded. He lost his head. His head was chopped off because he really believed in God and he really believed in the holiness of God and he really believed that everyone who claims to be a believer should follow these rules and the law. And for that, he lost his head. Paul was jailed and martyred. All of the apostles were martyred except John, who was exiled. Jesus actually warned his disciples of rejection by the world. Now, either Jesus made a mistake or he lied. May God forgive me for even saying that. When he said, well, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Please turn on the television, and I do sometimes before I come here or whenever I have time. I watch some of these Christian programs, and I don't hear any preacher saying, if you want to follow Christ, pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You may even lose your friends. You may even lose your the members of your family. Your wife may hate you. Your husband may hate you. Your children may hate you. You may lose your job. If that was preached today, I believe more people would respond because they would at least know the cost. But right now, they don't even know what is from the Word of God and what is from man or whatever makes more people come to church. Christians have suffered for their faith for centuries. And I'm looking back into the Christian history. Men and women were burned on the stake. Men and women were thrown to the lions. Men and women were murdered. And in the name, because they believed in Jesus, there were genocides. And people were killed by thousands and hundreds of thousands. And yet, they would not deny the Lord. Today we claim to be Christians and we flirt with the world, or we live in the world and we become Christians every Sunday or once in a while. Will your faith hold up under pressure and persecution? It's a question that I must ask myself. Will my faith continue? Will my faith hold up under pressure? Daniel's enemies searched for a flaw in him, but they could not find no fault in him. What a credit to this faithful man. Everyone was looking at Daniel and his friend. Hey, they're going to fall. We will entice them with sex. The prettiest girls probably were sent. Nay, they wouldn't fall. They will give them the best possible wine. No, we don't do it. They were given power. No, the power belongs to God. Finally, they gave up and said, we will come up with something that will just break them. What about us? What about you? What would people find in your life if they looked? If being a Christian was against the law, and the police came to your door, will there be enough evidence to arrest you? Think about it. If being a follower of Christ was against the law, and they came to your door, would they be able to find any evidence at all to arrest you? You say, yeah, the Bible on the table. No, they would be looking for personal evidence, not circumstantial evidence. Personal evidence. What have you done so that will incriminate you, that will make you guilty before the law? Is a question that we all should answer. This reminds us of Pilate and his conclusion about Jesus. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The only thing Daniel's enemies could say about him was that he was a man of faith and prayer. Won't that be just the best thing that someone could say about me? Someone could say about you? I looked at this person, that person, and all I could find was godliness, holiness. And yet, we as Christians have the bad habit of pointing our finger and saying, oh, so-and-so, he doesn't pray well. The other person doesn't know whether he is a Christian. Oh, because there's a lot of mixed messages that we transmit, we reflect daily. But these young people and many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who followed their example governments were not able to find any sin, or when I say any evidence, that they were not Christian. But they wanted to find a way to persecute him, Daniel. Something to use it against him and destroy him. And so they came up with the infamous decree that they thought would send Daniel to the lion's den. Don't worry, there are people who want to send you to the lion's den daily. You don't realize it, but there are. The question is, why would they want you to go there? They knew how faithful Daniel was to God, and that nothing would stop him from praying to the one living God. We all have agreed that you should make a decree, they said, and enforce it strictly, that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. And while I'm reading this, I'm just sort of remembering some of the comments in the news these days. I was just reading something about the freedom people have to gather in the middle of New York City and pray. Just block the entire neighborhood. That's fine. The freedom they have to talk about pornography on the radio, on television. The freedom they have to make bad, blasphemous jokes about Jesus and God on the radio. Comedians, they think it's funny to make fun of God and Jesus. Christians will laugh and find some of these jokes funny. They're not funny. They are blasphemy. And yet, when you are a Christian, and if you want to pray at school, you cannot. It's against the law. If someone wants to pray before sports, if someone wants to, I don't know, do something that gives credit to our Lord Jesus Christ, is against the law. The days may come one day that we will be just like Daniel found himself in those days. Now, even though the king liked Daniel, he liked the idea of being honored like a god even more. Yeah, he really, really, Daniel was cool. He liked him. He was a good-looking guy. He did all kinds of good things. And yet, the idea of him now being God, worshipped as God, and was even a cooler idea. So he went along with it. Pride got the best of him, and he signed the law. Those who plotted against Daniel knew that Daniel would keep on praying to God, and their wicked plot would sentence him to death. What was Daniel's response to the king's decree? Well, he kept on praying as before. As a matter of fact, he did not pray in secret, as many would have been tempted to do. He actually prayed with his windows open in full view of everyone that went by. And I believe that very often we are guilty of that kind of a sin. We are embarrassed. You're sitting in a restaurant, you don't want to pray because people may go by and see you praying. You may be sitting somewhere waiting for the bus. You don't want to open your Bible and start reading. We're going to say, well, what a freak is this? Still reading Bible. And even as Christians, we want to keep it low and be polite and use the proper words. Churches today have changed the vocabulary. The Bible is being translated in, and they avoid to use words that may be not sensitive enough to others, and the word blood is being removed from our hymns. Hell and sin and holiness are not being preached, because we don't want to embarrass others, because we want to be politically correct, and this being politically correct is the tool that the devil has been using now to destroy the church and to destroy the family of God. And we say, it's only logical that I don't want to embarrass someone else. Well, obviously we should not embarrass anyone else. We should pray to God. We should love the person. But when we pray and love them is not politically correct, that becomes their problem. My problem is to be ashamed of my God and be unable to confess him publicly. And so Daniel was sent to the lion's den. In Daniel 6:16, we see the king Darius had confidence in Daniel's prayer. He believed God would rescue him. He said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Now, I don't know whether he was sort of being, that was a wishful thinking, or he really believed that Daniel's God will save him. Either way, he showed some kindness, goodness in there. And yet he liked the idea of him being, the king being God, better. God protected Daniel from the hungry lions. The king spent the night fasting, and so did the lions. God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me, Daniel said to the king. Verse 22. Now the king issued a new decree, which said, and these are two of the prettiest verses, or the most meaningful verses at least, in the book of Daniel. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders. In the heavens and on earth, he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. End of quote. Now this man who threw Daniel to the lions, all of a sudden, he is converted. He is born again, if you wish. And he makes God the only ruler that has dominion over everyone. And these words, once again, he rescues, he saves, he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. You know what the problem is, I believe, today? And very often I look at myself and I say, I wish what I'm preaching from the pulpit, I wish what I'm thinking about God, I wish would become so easily obtainable for me personally, and so I can live a holy life. But I'm aiming for holiness. No one is holy. But the problem is that Christians today, all of us, have forgotten what holiness is. What is to be like Daniel and his friends who were tempted by the best possible food. They were tempted by the best possible girls available to them. They were tempted by the best possible power given to them. And yet they put God first and they said, God is first in my life. In Daniel's life, we see once again that God never leaves us nor forsakes us in times of trials and persecution. Triumph follows trials. I don't know how many times or how often you have realized that after going through a terrible period of time in your life, now you have triumph, victory. And that does not mean that because you went through a terrible period of time without money, or because you were ill, now you are the richest person, or you have the best possible health. No, you may have lost your money. You may have lost your health. And yet you feel that you have victory now over fears. You have victory over things that have robbed you from your peace and joy, because God has helped you deal with those things the best possible way. And look into your own soul like Daniel and his friends did. Faith proven under fire has a greater impact on people for Christ than many long sermons and talks. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being a living God. Thank you, Lord, for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need your help to persevere. We need your help to be strengthened spiritually, emotionally. And Lord, we need your help to continue our spiritual journey on this earth. Please be with each one of us, strengthen us, give us a spirit of discernment to be able to discern, and give us your Holy Spirit to have victory over sin. In your blessed name I pray, amen.